Hallelujah. Ezekiel chapter 16, 1 through 6. And we got to move quick. Say, come on, preacher. Or as David would say, rev on. See, usually when the preacher takes off the coat, usually that means it might just be about time to go down. We'll see. All right. Bear with me this morning. Hallelujah. Look at this, Ezekiel 16, 1 through 6. Watch what it says. Again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations and say, Thus says the Lord God to Jerusalem, Your birth and your nativity are from the land of Canaan. Your father was an Amorite and your mother a Hittite. As for your nativity, on the day you were born, your navel cord was not cut, nor were you washed in water to cleanse you. You were not rubbed with salt, nor wrapped in swaddling clothes. No eye pitied you to do any of these things for you, to have compassion on you. But you were thrown out into an open field when you yourself were loathed on the day you were born. In verse 6, and when I passed by you, he said, when I passed by you and saw you struggling in your own blood, I said to you, in your blood. Notice that right there. How many times we pray and ask God to change our situation. And really what we should do is notice that God often just speaks in the midst of the situation. He said, I said to you in your blood, live. Yes, I said to you in your blood, live. Okay. Are you still with me? In other words, I'll begin by saying what each of you and I are doing today. Everybody assembled in this room, everybody online, wherever we are in life. What we're looking at when we look at one another is a miracle. We have to begin to understand that when we look at one another, and we look at one another specifically in the body of Christ, what we're looking at is a miracle. That when you see me, you could see my flaws and all my mistakes. But what you're looking at is a miracle. I want to just for a moment understand the text and realize that God is being really graphic and really explicit in the text. It is. It's a pretty graphic text when you really break it down and understand it. And some of your translations might even be a little bit more graphic than what I read today. But he gives a graphic and profound illustration right here in these first six verses. He's talking about a moment of birth, but that the moment of birth is really being turned into a moment of terrible and gross neglect. Anybody ever felt like they were neglected? By sometimes the very people that we love? By someone that made a vow? By people that say, I love you, and then you need them and they're not there? Or neglected by a parent, or overlooked, or forgotten, or wondered why you're not the favorite one? Oh, come on. Every family's got favorites. Uh-huh. That's what he's talking about in the text. Gross neglect. Being tossed aside, forgotten. Think about it. The text is really talking about a parent who went to all the trouble conceiving and going through labor only to toss the child aside. Alongside the road. didn't care enough about it to keep it, hold on to it, love it, swallow it, wrap it up, clean it up, just threw it out. That's a pretty intense, graphic description in the Word of God, is it not? That's what he's talking about. He's talking about for every one of us that sometimes, whether we felt like garbage or felt like giving up or felt like nobody cared, whatever it is that we've been through in life, that's exactly what he's talking to us about. And that sometimes it feels like there's nobody that we can run to. Recognizing the place that we often get to in life. Talking about parents or whomever in the text throws this child aside, not holding it, not caressing it, but throwing it aside. And the Bible says, in its own blood. And forsaking it like it was nothing at all. We may or not be able to relate to that part. We'll get to a part you can relate to in a moment. God said to his people, this is what God was saying to you and I in the book of Ezekiel, right here in this marvelous chapter. God was speaking to you and I, and this is what he says to you and I. This is what he says to you. You are that baby. Born out of Canaan. Out of fellowship. Out of covenant. You are that baby tossed aside. You are that forgotten baby. You are that overlooked baby. You might be that one that is thought to be not so important, unloved. God's speaking directly to you and I today, the church, and he's saying that we might be that one that wasn't cared for. We might be that one that wasn't touched, that wasn't swaddled. He said, but when I found you, notice the text, notice the words in the word here. He said, but when I found you, he says, when I found you, you were grasping for breath. And death had moved in to capture you and to take you. You got to really sort of read these verses and even go on a little bit more in it and to really grasp and get a picture of it. That this is a 6 verses where God is speaking directly to you and I today, to our need, to our situation, to where we are. And he says, you and I are that person, or you and I could be that baby that God is speaking to, just tossed aside, thrown aside, forgotten. You and I could feel that way sometimes even about God himself, that we've been tossed aside and forgotten, praying and wondering, God, where are you? But he says in the text, Mom, he says, but before death could come in to take you. That's what he says. I'm paraphrasing for you. He says, but before death could come in and claim you, or before your situation was finalized and settled, before what the doctor said would be at the absolute outcome, before you ended up losing everything, before you ended up throwing in the towel, before you totally walked away from God and everybody else, he says, but before any of those things happened, before the devil could claim you for his own, before the devil can claim the United States of America, or before the devil can claim another soul in our families, this is the word of the Lord, when I passed by you. He said, when I passed by you. Here's what we often miss, is the reason we often miss God is because we miss him when he's passing by. There's a lot of great examples in the Word of God of this. The woman with the issue of blood knew that Jesus was passing by, and it was because of her pressing and pushing that she had a miracle. Blind Bartimaeus, on and on and on, is another example. Right, the man at the pool of Bethesda we just preached about a few weeks ago. Right, when everyone else was telling him to be quiet and whatever, and he he was sitting on the porch, his own porch, and couldn't get in the water. It was that he had sensed that Jesus was passing by. And he made his presence known. All too often we miss what God has for us because we're not sensing that he's passing by. And so what God is saying, stay with me. Say, I'm with you. Don't you all fall asleep yet. He's saying before any of those things in your life can claim you, before it looks like everything in your life or our nation or our family, before it looks like the devil has a for sure hold on anybody that we love, on anybody that we care about, he says before any of those results that you, what could happen, what might happen, any of those things, he says in the word, when I passed by you, notice when the word doesn't say, when I passed by you, I prayed for you. Notice the word also doesn't say, when I passed by you, I read scriptures to you. All those things are great. He didn't say, when I passed by you, I preached to you. No, what happens here in the text is powerful. He says, when I passed by you, God says in the word, when I passed by you, your condition was so bad. Your condition was so bad. Maybe I'm only preaching to myself. But your condition was so bad that I had to fix it in one word. Anybody else ever been so desperate for there to be a breakthrough where you maybe couldn't pray or you couldn't cry or you couldn't get out the words and you could just mutter one thing or all you could do was cry and say nothing, or you were just so desperate for God to move, it was just like groanings and mutterings and utterances. I must be the only one that's ever experienced that. But there's been those times, and God says, when I pass by this infant, thrown out and forgotten and overlooked, he said the condition was so desperate. There was such an immediate and desperate need. And this is, remember, the baby that he's speaking to, kicking in its own blood, he's saying is you. God's saying, and he's speaking directly to us, and he said, Adam, I see the condition of the people of God, and it's so bad, and I see them kicking and drowning in their own blood. And it's so desperate, and there's such an intense need for there to be a miracle that we sang about earlier. God, you are great, and Lord, you do miracles so great. Lord, there's no one else like you. And we can sing the song, and we can pray, and we can be ignorant of our own condition. And he's saying, but I see the church, and he can see our nation, and he can see around the globe, and he says, I can see the condition of the church, and it's so desperate that I need to say just one word. Because there's no time to pray a cute prayer. There's no time to preach a cool message. There's no time to give an illustration. There's no time to even read the scriptures. God says there's just one word. He said, when I saw you kicking in your own blood, I said, live. Live. What is God saying? Boy, there's a lot. There's a lot that God's saying. I had to check my time. He's saying a lot. In other words, God is speaking into your life today. Live. God's speaking into our life today. Life. I said earlier, it was when we opened, anybody else feel like they got punched in the gut a few times? Hit over and over and over again, and the word of the Lord comes, and he's speaking to you and I today, directly to you and your situation. And that's why God brought me back to this text. He said, because I need to speak life to dead things. I need to speak life to dead hopes and dreams. I need to speak life to a people that are worried and fearful. I need to speak life to people who lose their jobs. I need to speak life to people who have fallen off the wagon. I need to speak life to dead relationships. I need to speak life to areas where people feel forgotten, who feel like that infant and baby tossed aside and forgotten and overlooked. God's speaking life to you and I today. I hope you can hear the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Life. 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 We can get so busy trying to get numbers in church that we compromise truth. And really, the gospel gets summed up right here in this these couple of verses really great, and he just says, live. Live. Everything that God desires to do in his word is that he could speak life to you and I. That he could speak over our mess and our situation and just say, live. Live. In other words, God's speaking hope into hopeless situations. He's speaking hope and life into difficult times and situations. God, there's so much. There's depth that I'd love to get into. Anybody have an area where you need God just to speak life? We must be at the First United Baptist Pentecostal Presbyterian Church of Jesus Christ on the corner of 1st and 2nd. Because out of nowhere, God shows up in the midst of our life, in the midst of our mess, in the midst of our nation this week, and instead of allowing me to continue what I preached last week, he just brings me back to Ezekiel and says, drop this. And when I was in the middle of a earth-shattering, world-crashing conversation, God confirms it. In the wee hours of the morning, God's saying, life. Speaking life. Speaking life. And he confirms the word of the Lord. And he comes to you and I today, right in the middle of the text, and says, I want to speak life to areas where there's dead things. I'm going to speak life to the areas where things look hopeless. God wants to speak life to you and I. In the text, God starts reminding us of a child that's contaminated with the afterbirth. That's what the text is all about. In other words, saying, hey, when we're born, when we come into this life, we don't look like the Gerber baby. But it's ugly and it's messy, because life is ugly and it's messy. And what the warning is from God is he's reminding you and I, he said, I need to speak life to you, but you have to understand when God speaks life to you and I, even in the text, when God's speaking life to you and I today, he's saying, I need to move you from the world that you were in into another dimension. Just as the baby is born, it comes from out of the world that it knows, safe and secure in the womb, it comes into this earth, into another world. And I said earlier that though we walk not by sight, we walk by faith, that we have to remember that we are in this world, but we are not of the world. And so God is speaking to us and he's reminding us. He's saying, I need to speak to dead areas and to dead things. I need to speak and provide hope to you. But he's trying to remind you and I that where God is trying to take the church and where he's trying to take you and I is that you have to be cleaned up first. That's what he said in the text. He said, there was no one that washed you. God was in essence making an indictment against the parent who had abandoned them there. Let me make it more clear. In other words, God is making an indictment against the church that we're not getting people cleaned up well enough. He's saying that we are in the church, but we're not any different. Still doing and acting the same as we did before Jesus. And so God says, there was no one to wash you. God wasn't blaming the baby for its problem. I was blaming the one who left him. In other words, God's saying the church holds some responsibility to get people clean, to wash them. Sometimes you just fall in love with the word. To wash them, to clean them up. Hallelujah. In other words, God was saying to you and I when he said, there's no one to wash you, when he acknowledges and brings out that there was this baby laying there covered in the afterbirth, he's reminding us that there is nothing worse than being threatened by your past. Having the evidence on you of what you did and where you come from and trying to exist in a world where you can't be you. Residue. I used to describe it like this. When you go and fill up your car and get gas, I always try not to get gas before I come to church in a suit, because the whole time I'm here, I smell like gas. Why? Because of the residue. And so God is speaking to you and I in the church today. He says, we come to church and it's cute and it's fun, and sometimes we shout and sometimes we get too excited. He said, that's great. He said, but what I'm trying to do with you is clean the afterbirth, or clean off the residue of where you came from. I don't know about you, but sometimes life just gets, Pastor Michelle, it's just, you know, it's weighty, and sometimes it's icky, right? Sometimes it's messy, sometimes it's ugly. And here we are, we're trying to serve God, love God, you know, and worship God and be a different person and overcome our old demons. Come on, anybody. And all of those things, only to always be reminded and have, it's like this demon constantly in my ear or over my shoulder talking to me. And I'm only one decision away from making the biggest mistake of my life. And God says, there was no one to clean you up. There was no one to wash you. I was on the phone with a pastor friend the other day. We were talking, and I just started sharing my heart about things and responsibilities. And I said, I take it a real responsibility just to be able to keep people on the right path, to help be at their accountability, or them call me before they make a stupid decision in a broke down moment. And I started crying, and I said, I need more spiritual people to help bring guidance and instruction to all those that are hanging on. And in other words, what I was saying is there has to be an army of people, and that the body of Christ has to operate like an army, where we're going to help people get clean of the residue of where they came from, whatever that is, where we can overcome the voices in our head, where we can overcome the memories and the thoughts and the taunting things that the enemy does, where we can become, do, and be everything that God has said in his word that he wants us to be. Amen. Because when we read the word and we often look at our life, they look like two very different things. That's true. When I read the word and then I look at my life, sometimes it looks like one world doesn't match the other. And yet God is trying to get you and I to a place where he says, I want your world, and I want the life that you are living to match what I promised you. And so here's the church trying to attain it, and we'll preach really cute messages. And I want to tell you something, for every pastor that persecuted this meek, God bless you. I have never in my life been attacked by so many preachers in 1 week for speaking truth. And finally, I told the one man, I said, delete me, block me, do whatever you want to do, but please don't ask me to ever preach in your church again. He said, why would you not want to preach the gospel? And I said, because you're not interested in truth. That's what I said. And then he deleted me. I said, thank you. The purpose of the church is my point. Is that we're to be washing people clean. That every one of us in this room and everybody online and everybody that will see this on TV next week has a past, and we've got residue of where we've been and what we've been through. You can get through one marriage only to go to your next one and have residue all over you. And the reason you'll go through a honeymoon and then things start changing is because of the residue. You can experience all kinds of things in this life, but if we never get washed clean, if we never get healed, even God goes further in the text and he says, there was no one to wash you or to clean you up of all the things that you've been through. And so the reason that some of us are still fighting the same demons, I can't be the only one that's still fighting the same battles and the same devils that I was a year ago or 2 years ago or 5 years ago. There's a reason that some of us and our families are still fighting the same stuff. There's a reason that generational curses haven't been broken. You know why? Let me just say it real clear. Because the church has failed. It's not mommy's fault. It's not daddy's fault. Maybe they're not the one that helped to get you clean. But in the end of the day, God's speaking not to mom and dad. He's speaking to the church. And he's saying the pastors failed. Elders failed because they didn't walk with anybody to help clean them up, to wash them off and rid them of all the yuck and the nastiness and the stuff that's clouding their mind. I don't know about anybody else, but I am sometimes my own worst enemy. I'll leave church and people can get healed and delivered. And this week, three people that we prayed for got healed. Thank you, Jesus. And I can be my own worst enemy because I'm in my own head. You idiot. Just quit. You could have been more effective than that. Sometimes people need answers or need a word from me, and sometimes I got nothing. On empty. Jamie, there's going to be a day you're going to text me, man, and I'm going to have nothing for you. Because it happens. So God sees the condition of us right now. He said, I see you kicking in your same old battles. I see you fighting the same old demons. I see you really trying to get life to work for you, but it's not. In other words, that's you. When you and I pray, one thing and another thing happens. When you and I ask something of God, only to see that not come to pass. God says, I see you in your condition. Kicking and you're drowning in it. God says the condition of the church is that we're drowning in our own mess. There was no one to wash you. No one to wash you. But watch this. God wants to remove the evidence of where you've been. Think about that. The reason after our mothers go through intense labor to give birth, they take the baby and try to clean it up real quick, is to remove the evidence and the ugliness and the nastiness of where the baby's been. God's trying to remove all that. He said, there was no one to wash you. There was no one to help remove the evidence of where you've been. So here we are trying to live for God, walk with God, and carrying the weight of where we've been. But God says, I came, saw you kicking in your own blood, and said, live. Speak life. And when you and I are in that condition where we are in this world, and the Bible says we're in this world, but not of the world, but really what is the condition of the church according to Ezekiel is that you and I are in the world and of the world, trying to worship God. And that's difficult. That's weighty. And so God says there that basically God's recognizing that you and I are in often a position or a condition that we don't even have enough strength to get to the new place that God has for us. The reason that we often try so hard and fail is because of this right here. There is no one to wash us. There is no one to rid us of the residue of where we've been and all the things that we've been through that's damaged us. Someone looked me in the eye late last night in the wee hours of the morning. And they looked at me and they apologized, tears streaming down their face. And they said, I'm sorry, I'm damaged goods. There's nothing that'll rip your heart out more when you look at somebody and you see their own devastation and their own pain of choices that they've made. And they say, I'm sorry, I'm damaged goods. That's what God's speaking about today. God's speaking over and to our own lives, and he's saying to you and I in this moment and in our lives and everything that we're experiencing and going through, he's saying, don't ever look at yourself and say, I'm damaged goods.
God says that you came and you were brought into this life from a world that was before us. And that world was your mother's womb. And when you were birthed, God brought you into this world. And then when you got saved, you need to understand that because of the shedding of blood, you were then brought into another world. And it was that world, it was because of the redemption of Jesus Christ that you are in this world, but not of this world. And God is speaking to you and I, because it's like we're like this. I'm in that world, still covered in my residue. And God's saying, but I died for you to cover you. And we haven't settled it within ourselves that what God says he means. And so that's why we're tormented. The reason you're tormented, because if it was just a symbol that you really believed what God said, then you would already be free. The reason that we're caught between the two worlds is because everyone else that says anything to us will go back on the word or change the world. It's hard to find very few people that'll do what they say and say what they do. That's true. And so we liken God to that. That when God says live, he's saying it to everyone else in this room but you. And the reason that we'll believe that is because you've not yet seen the power in the hand of God like that in your life to this point. And so you discredit it. You have this certain level of disbelief. He said, but I saw you kicking in your own blood. There was no one to wash you. No one to wash you. And then he says, the second one, no one salted me in the text. This is where it gets even better. How many have been through things and you have memories of things? They're not as tormenting to you, but you still have the memory. And when you think of it, it brings that same amount of shock and pain. That's why God said in the word, there was no one, not just to wash you, but there was no one to salt you. Because the salting of the baby in this time was the healing from the damage of coming from one world to another. That's pretty good. That's real good. So a lot of times we'll get washed and cleaned up and look all nice for church. I can wear a new pair of jeans or whatever and look spiffy and been washed but not cleansed with the salt that brings healing. Salt was a medicine, you need to understand. It was used to heal the bruising of the baby from coming through the birth canal, from going through, from existing, from the battle. Salt was used to heal the damage. And so last night when I was having this conversation and they looked at me and said, I'm sorry, I'm damaged goods. I remembered the word. Discipleship class that was here on Monday, the washing of the water of the word. There was no one to wash you. There was no one to salt you. And the third thing, there was no one to swaddle you. There was no one to cover you. In other words, there was no one to wrap you up and hold you in their arms. Sometimes we go through life and we say, I could have made it if they had helped me. I could have made it if I had support from them. But I was uncovered. There was no one to wash you. There was no one to clean you. To salt you. There was no one to swaddle you. No one to swaddle you. Remember back in when Jesus was born, the Bible says, Mary and Joseph, and they wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger.
swaddling clothes were just milk rags. We make it sound like it was so lovely. They were milk rags. And so they wrapped Jesus in as a baby. They wrapped him up in the Word. That's what they did. They wrapped him up in the Word. So the Bible says, let me read this part to you again. I'm actually going to prepare to close. I'm not going to share this whole word with you because I want us to pray. The Bible says there in the final verse, he says, when I found you. Translation says it like this. When I found you, you were naked. When I found you, you were still bruised. When I found you, you were still covered up with what you came from. And when I found you, you were about to die. In other words, what God is speaking into our hearts today, guys, is that God was saying, when I found you in your crisis, when I found you in your moment of crisis, I'm going to do this. Anybody else ever had a crisis? He says, when I found you in your mess, or when I found you in your crisis, when I found you when it felt like life was caving in on you, when I found you when it felt like you were on the verge of giving up and walking away and never going back, when I found you in that moment of greatest despair, when I found you right as the devil was coming in to take you out and to kill you, when I found you right when you were on the verge of literally losing everything, when I found you in that moment of the greatest hurt and pain of your life, I found you with all of those thoughts circling around in your head and being overwhelmed and utterly distraught in your own mind. He said in the Word, he says, when I found you, that's the first part we should celebrate. When he says, when I found you. The reason I believe that God wanted me to bring back out this text today is because God wants to remind us that he found you. That he found you. He said, when I found you, I passed by you. When I found you, I passed by you. In other words, in the middle of the night, when we're tormented and we're stressed out and we're going through something and we can't get any sleep, he passed by you. In the middle of death, he passed by. In the middle of a disease, in the middle of a health crisis, in the middle of a failure, in the middle of our own disgrace, in the middle of our own failures, what God is saying, he's speaking directly to us. He says, Adam, in the middle of it all, I passed by. What's he saying? In the middle of it, I saw you. That's part of the hope right there, is that in the middle of everything right now, for our nation right now, God's saying, in the middle of it, I see you. In the middle of our country right now, God says, I see you. I'm passing by. Some people feel like forgotten and overlooked, and we're desperate and we're miserable and we're crying out and we're angry and we're frustrated. God says, I see you. I'm passing by. I'm passing by. In our life right now, we feel like, God, I'm desperate. God, I need you. Lord, I don't know what the outcome's going to be. God says, I see you. I'm passing by. That's the great part of this text, is God said, you can be there feeling like you're laying along the side of the road like that baby, drowning in your own blood, but God says, I see you. And when I saw you there, lying and kicking in your own blood, drowning in your own circumstance, come on somebody, drowning in your own mess, overwhelmed and distraught and messed up in your mind, he says, when I saw you kicking there and drowning and on the verge of losing it all and on the verge of dying, on the verge of giving up, he said, I said one word. It's kind of like when you and I have an emergency and there's no time to look in the phone book to find the local police station. You and I know that for faster service, dial 911. God said it was so emergent, and he says, I see the condition of the church.
He said, I see you in your life. I see the desperation that you have for me to move. See, all this time you've been thinking that God wasn't hearing and God wasn't answering your prayer, and you felt like you were praying one thing and God was doing another, and you felt like maybe you were the only one praying, and you thought, is there anybody else that hears? Is there anybody else that understands me and my messed up mind? And God says, yeah. God says, Adam, when I saw you lying there, tormented and choking, strangling in your own life, I passed by you. But when I passed by, I spoke to you. The word of the Lord is that God sees you and I today. Can you just take a moment and give God thanks that He saw you? That He sees you. I mean, whew. That when you're lonely, God says, when you felt so alone, I saw you. When you were on the verge of completely caving in and giving up and going another direction, God says, I saw you. And when you felt like there was nobody else in the world, here's the great part. When you felt like in yourself that there was no breakthrough and no advancement, God says, that's where you went wrong. Because God saw you, He passed by you. And because He passed by you in the midst of your loneliness, and in the midst of the pain in your body, in the midst of the torment in your head, God was speaking over you. You didn't know it. Maybe you didn't feel it, but God was saying, when I saw you kicking in your own blood, I passed by you and I said, live. In other words, God was calling you out of where you were and what was bothering you, what was tormenting you when you didn't even know it. That's the word of the Lord I believe that God's given to you and I in the body of Christ right now. Is that one, He wants to clean us up. So the first part of this altar call, and there's really three parts to it, because I feel like we need to pray and lay hands and get sloppy and messy, tears and snot kind of thing. Stand to your feet. And everybody who has the ability to pray in the Spirit, start doing so right now. The first part of the altar call is, there was no one to wash you. And so you've been trying to live this life and exist and keep going, but you still have the residue of where you came from. You still got the residue all over you. Never been really taken away, never been really washed clean. But God says, I'll clean you. I'm going to wash you. And so if you're feeling that weight that I was talking about, that you're trying to exist, but you almost feel defeated the more you push, you're still feeling that weight, it's because you need washed. So that's the first part of the altar call. And if that's you, you can come. The second part is, there was no one to salt you. There was no one that you've been existing, and you maybe got washed, but you never got healed of the wounds. You never got deep, absolute deep healing in your life. And God says, I want to heal you. And the third part of the altar call was simply the context of the word. That you just really needed to know today that God saw you. All this time, all these years, all the days when you were ready to go the other way and have at times, you just really needed to hear that when God has seen you drowning in your own mess that maybe even you created, God has seen you and He passed by you. But now today He's speaking, live. live. If that's you, I want you to come. All three of those. If that's you, if you need God to speak life, if you need God to wash you, and if you need God to clean you, to heal you, I want you to come stand and let's pray. We're gonna see God do something. I mean, let's believe God for something radical, that this can be a different day, an absolute day. You may have never seen God do a miracle in your life, but I want you to believe that this word is for you. If for nobody else, if it's only for one, if it's only for two, I want you to believe that this word is for you and say, yep, he's speaking to me. He's telling me to live. He's telling me to live. He's speaking life over me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. People at home, you can just lift your hand. Do something to acknowledge the word of the Lord. 30 seconds, we're gonna pray with people who respond. I'm not gonna drag it out. So if you're one of the three, I want you to come. It doesn't mean you're a bad person. It means that you're like me and everybody else. In the midst of God trying to do something, our own mind gets in our own way. That sometimes I step right in front of where God's trying to move. And I get in my own way. In other words, what God is saying in the word is when God says, and I saw you kicking in your own blood, and I said, live. In other words, what God is saying to you and I, by us responding to the word this morning, is God is saying, by you moving out and you standing here or raising your hand at home, what you're saying is, if it is depression, what you're saying is, depression, get off me. What you're saying is, darkness, get off of me. Negative thinking, get off of me. Dream killers, get off me. Whatever it is that has been attacking you and dragging you, you're acknowledging that, and you're saying, God, I need your word more than anything else. I need your word. And so you're making a declaration by standing in the front of this place or lifting your hand, and you're saying, I'm not gonna allow myself to leave the same. I'm saying, whatever that was hindering me, get off of me. Get off of me. I'm not gonna live this life with that kind of thing on me. I'm not gonna leave with that kind of weight and torment in my life. Get off me. This may not be a thing, it may just be, devil, get off me. Let me break it down another way. Let me break it down another way. The Bible says that Lazarus died, and Mary and Martha, you might remember, looked at Jesus when Jesus finally showed up 4 days late. And the women looked at Jesus like typical church people do and said, Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. In other words, God, if you had showed up when I asked you to, this would not have happened. And Jesus sort of paid them no mind. The Bible says that Jesus got before the grave where they had laid Lazarus. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. The Bible says that Lazarus walked out of his grave. And the next thing that Jesus said to him, take off your grave clothes. That's Ezekiel 16 right there. Be washed and be salted. Remove the evidence of where you've been. That's what you're saying. Get off me. Get off me, depression. Get out of my mind, devil. Weariness, get off me. Anybody else felt weary? Get off me. And so Jesus has called you forward. He's called you forward. And he's speaking right now, live. 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 He's speaking that over you right now. Ladies, would you just position yourselves there? Scott, will you come behind? I want you all just to start praying in the spirit, praying over these people. Speak life.
speak life. Do not pass me by. Savior, hear my humble cry. Why on earth is thou calling? Do not pass me by. Jesus, do not pass us by. Do not pass us by. Folks, stretch your hands toward the front of this church. We're going to pray for every person that's here. We're going to believe God for a miracle right now. This be a divine appointment. The word that we needed. Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we just sang that the words to that song that said, Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. Do not pass me by. In other words, God, don't pass me by without speaking to me. So, Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, God, over this word, over, God, what you've spoken. And, God, I just speak your very word over every person who's responded. I speak today, live. That, Lord, you said in the word, I see you kicking in your own blood. I see you fighting in this life. God says, I see you tormented in this life. I see you overwhelmed and weary and struggling to live. He said, I see you in this moment. But he said, I sum it up in one word, live. What the devil meant for evil, God says, I'll turn for good. And Father, I thank you that today in this moment that this would be a divine appointment. That God, that you would set us free from the mental strongholds and the mental strain of things that God is on our minds right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that every devil in hell that is being trying to take people captive in their own mind, we rebuke that now in the name of Jesus. We pray today that God, there would be a supernatural, all-powerful, mighty deliverance right now. And I speak over every person assembled in the front of this church this morning, live. Live. I command you to live. I command you to come out of the grave clothes. I command you to get up and fight again. I command you to get your courage back. I command everything that the devil has stolen to come back to you tenfold in the name of Jesus. Because of one word, God said, live. He's washing you right now. He's washing you right now. He's salting you right now. Ooh, watch this, watch this. He's washing you. 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 Now watch this. He said, there was no one to wash you. There was no one to salt you. There was no one to swallow you. And God says, when God speaks live, what he's saying is right now, I'll do all three. I'm going to wash you. I'm going to salt you. And I'm going to swallow you. In other words, when no one else is there, I'm there. So he's washing you. Salting you and swaddling you in the name of Jesus. Every one of you, I just want you to receive what the word of the Lord is doing. Push back. Hallelujah. He's washing you. Hallelujah. He's salting you. He's swaddling you. And he says, live in the name of Jesus. Oh. washing, salting, and swaddling you. It's over. He's washing you. He's salting you. And he's swaddling you. He says, live. Live. See your Savior. Hear my humble cry. One another's thou art holy. Do not pass me. Live. Live. Thank you, Jesus. A lot of times in a moment like this, I would have us, those of you that are standing here, join hands. I feel like there hasn't been a total breakthrough, and I know because of COVID we're not really supposed to lay hands. Will you reach over and try to touch the person's shoulder or something? Just make contact, because the Bible says we're only two or three agree. Just make some kind of contact. I'm not going to let you make you violate CDC. Lord, they'll come after me for that next. Bible says we're only two or three agree, they will be in our midst, and we can ask anything. And he will do it. So I believe we need to make sure there's a breakthrough so that when God says live over you, that it's for sure that it's certain. That it's for sure that it's certain. Hallelujah. For sure that it's certain. Father, I pray right now. Pray with me. Just those of you that can, pray out loud, pray with me. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that God, in this moment, we come together and we agree. And Father, I recognize that the hold of the enemy, God, on some of your people. I recognize, God, even the deception that the enemy would play on the minds and lives of people right now in this moment. God, I recognize even the stronghold that you would have, that the enemy would have over the minds and lives of people that try to say it's no different, that they're going to have to leave the very same because God didn't do it again. Father, I break that kind of thought pattern in the name of Jesus. Father, we made a declaration that today would be a day of miracles. God, we made a declaration that, Lord, you are great, and the God that you do miracles, so great. And so, Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that, Lord, it is the anointing that destroys every yoke. It is the anointing that destroys everything that comes to strangulate us, everything that comes to try to suck the life of God right out of us. We break that in the name of Jesus. I declare and I decree victory over the life of these people, over the life of God's people right now in the name of Jesus, that they will not be suffocated by this thing. They will not be driven out by this thing. They will not be defeated by this life. That God, you said in your word that you saw them. God, you saw them this week when you were telling me to preach this word. You said, I see them drowning in their own life, drowning in their own existence. But God, you said, live. And so, Father, I pray that it be the anointing that destroys the yoke now. That God, when we say live in the end of this prayer, that God, let every stronghold fall. God, let every boundary be pushed back. God, let every hindrance be broken in the name of Jesus. So, Father, I decree and I declare in the name of Jesus, I come against the devil and every foul spirit of unbelief, of torment, of every devil sent on assignment to remind you, devil, that you have no power, no authority to get thee behind us, Satan. You're a liar and the father of every lie. So I bind you in every whisper that you put in the ear of God's people now in this moment. And I speak your word, God. You said you saw these people laying and drowning and suffocating in their own life, but you passed by and he's here right now. And God, you said, You said live. Live now, Father. Breath of the Holy Ghost, breathe. Live. Live. And God, as I say live, Father, blow back and blow away, God, all the residue. Wash them. Salt them, oh God. Swaddle them now in this moment. Change their outlook. I pray, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind right now in the name of Jesus. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new right now in the name of Jesus. Loose your hold, devil. Loose your hold. Breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Live in Jesus' mighty, powerful, wonderful, holy name. Live. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Live. Live. Hallelujah. So the next time this week when stuff starts going on in your head, when the devil starts breathing down our neck, when bad news comes in through the media, when it feels like our world is collapsing and coming in all around us, you need to remind yourself, and you may have to say it out loud, God said, live. Because he saw me, and he told me to live. Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't God great? I hope something ministered to you. That he spoke to your heart. As we leave this place and not his presence, we're going to give our offering here in this place and tithes, and ask every person that's online to do the same. That God will bless it, multiply it, bring increase into your life. As you give and give your best, I know God will give and give his best. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Whew. Hallelujah. Live. Are you ready to live? Yeah. All right. Hallelujah.